Thank you for tuning to Global Radio today. Today, I want to talk to you about something that is heavy on my heart and mind, and I believe is necessary for you to hear today. In eternity, there's only two ways to go, as I understand it, heaven and hell. They're both described in the Bible. Jesus talked about heaven and hell. In fact, the important thing that I want you to hear today before we go into our testimony is that Jesus said hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for mankind. Now, we know in the study of the Bible and through experiences that people do wind up in hell. It's real. It's not God's plan for man. Today, we're going to listen to Dr. Michael H. Yeager. He's written the book, The Splendors of Heaven, The Horrors of Hell. Today, we're going to look at the horrors of hell. He was in hell. He was there for some time. And you need to listen. You need to listen and say, I don't want to go there. I believe the reason that people do have these experiences so that God can speak to us, can warn us, I believe they're valuable. They're not a fantasy. They're reality. They're news, not a fairy tale. Here he is, Dr. Yeager.
Back in 1975, right after I had given my heart to Jesus Christ, I was in I was just in a holy pursuit of God with every fiber of my being, with every part of my existence. Just as a young man, I was seeking God. I had nothing else to seek. I had nothing else to live for. I had nothing else I wanted. So I was going after God. And in the midst of that time, I saw people getting saved, healed, delivered, casting out devils. I just saw God do so many wonderful things. And I would get together usually almost every night with some of the guys that the Lord allowed me to win to the Lord, and we would have a Bible study or we would pray. And one night I came back to my barracks, and a good friend of mine, African-American brother by the name of Willie Wine, that's what we called him, Willie Wine, me and him got together to pray. Well, right outside of our barracks was what we called the common area, where there was a bunch of guys in our battalion that had gotten together to have a party, cooking hamburgers, and they're just having a good old time. But me and Willie went into our dormitory room, and we just began to pray, crying out to God, interceding for souls, praying for the guys out there in the common area. And all of a sudden, as what the Bible calls, the burden of the Lord came upon me, so real, so strong. And my heart was breaking for all of these men that didn't know God. And I began to weep and cry and wail. And I began to pray a very strange prayer, and I believe that God will put the prayer in your mouth. He will put in your mouth what he wants you to pray when you go into the spirit realm. And so all of a sudden, out of my mouth, I began to ask God to allow me to go to hell. I know that sounds really strange, but I said, Lord, let me experience the realities of hell, that I can have compassion on those who are going there. And I'm praying this strange prayer when all of a sudden, the whole room that I was in was filled with a gross darkness. Now, I'm telling you, to me, it was physical. It was literal. It was what I was seeing out of my physical eyes. It went black. The whole room, it was a thick blackness. Everything disappeared. It was totally black. And then in this blackness, everything was gone. I could not hear the guys out there having their party. I couldn't hear the music. Everything went totally dead still. I could not hear anything. And there was this tremendous blackness, and I didn't even see Willie anymore because Willie was in the same room with me. And all of a sudden, in this blackness, an earthquake hit that room. Now, at that moment, I didn't realize it was a spiritual experience because I was located on Adak, Alaska, and I can't give you all the fine details of what I went through because this thing went on for about 2.5 hours. So I'm going to very briefly share with you what happened. So all of a sudden, the room began to shake, and I'm on the island called Adak, Alaska, and we always had earthquakes out there. We're out there in the Bering Sea. It was an anti-submarine nuclear base missile, I guess it was. They never really told us what they did there, but we knew it was top secret. And so the room I'm in began to shake. Now, as this is happening, the lights came on, But Willie's no longer there. I'm in this room alone, and the room is beginning to shake violently, very violently, and this earthquake is growing in intensity to where all of a sudden stuff is falling off the walls. The bed is beginning to bounce. I'm hardly being able to stand up. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, it got so violent. I'm on the floor, and I'm being tossed to and fro. And all of a sudden, there is this terrible screeching sound. And as I relate it to you, it's hard for me to, because it was so real, even though it was 38 years ago, it was like yesterday. The floor of that room began to literally be ripped open. The floor began to rip open, and I'm here, and all of a sudden, it's like, it becomes like a drain where in a bathtub, and things are falling, and this rip in the floor begins, it tore open. And all of a sudden, stuff is falling down into this hole. Well, it's like the whole room is beginning to be dumped into this hole. And I remember to this day, my heart was filled with tremendous fear. It was not a demonic fear. It's just that my heart was filled with fear because I'm headed for this hole in the floor. And I'm grabbing a hold of my bed. I'm grabbing a hold of it. And I'm falling and I'm falling. And I finally got to the edge of this bed or the edge of this hole that was in my barracks. And I fell backwards like you would off of a ladder. Now, as I'm falling into this hole, I'm going past wires and cables because, see, to me, it was not a spiritual experience. It was physical. It was real. So I'm falling back into this hole. And as I'm falling back in this hole, I'm going past the girders and the wires and all of the foundation and of the building. I'm falling down this hole. Now, as I'm falling down this hole, it was about 3 feet wide in a circular sense, and it just went straight down, and I'm falling down this hole, and as I'm falling down this hole, all of a sudden I left all the construction of the building and the wires and the cables, and now I'm into this black hole. And I remember falling down this black hole. And as I'm falling down this black hole, I'm spinning, I'm hitting the wall, and my fingers, I'm grabbing like the sides of this wall, trying to stop my descent. And I'm ripping my fingers up, and I'm just screaming out, and I'm falling down this hole. Now, as I'm falling down this hole, it seemed like it was a never-ending hole. And to me, it's physical, literal. If you could put yourself in my place. So I'm falling down this hole, and I'm falling down this hole, and I'm trying to stop my descent. I'm falling, I'm falling, I'm falling. It seems like I'm falling forever. It's like a nightmare I can't get out of, but it's physical, it's real. And I'm falling, and I'm falling, and I'm falling. And as I'm falling, all of a sudden, I began to breathe this terrible fumes. It smelled like sulfur, and it's this hole that I'm falling down, and I could look up and I could see the light where I fell way above me, but down below me there was nothing but blackness at this moment, and I'm falling down this hole, and all of a sudden I can hardly breathe. Because the air is filled with a sulfuric smell, just so terrible. I cannot tell you. So I'm trying to breathe. And I remember taking my shirt and putting it over my face, and I'm trying to breathe because I can't breathe because the smell was so terrible, so horrendous. The gases were so bad. And so now here I am. I'm falling down this hole. I can't hardly breathe. I'm trying to breathe, and the air is this filled with this sulfuric smell, this terrible smell, and I can't hardly breathe. And so I'm still falling. And as I'm falling and I'm falling, I look down between, because I finally straightened up and I'm just falling like a skydiver from an airplane. And I'm falling and I'm falling and I'm falling. And as I'm looking down, I see a reddish, orangish glow. I see light down below me. And I'm falling towards this light. Now, as I'm falling towards this light, the next thing that begins to hit me is this intense heat. This heat that is coming up from the bottom of this hole, and it's just intense. And it literally feels like the flesh on my hands are going to begin to melt off. My face is going to begin to melt off. This heat is so overwhelming. Now, how in the world I could maintain consciousness in this situation? It had to be God. It was all supernatural. At the time, I did not know it was supernatural. But I'm experiencing this sulfuric smell. I cannot breathe. I'm experiencing this intense heat that I cannot hardly stand. And yet I'm falling towards this orange glow at the bottom of this pit, this hole. And I'm falling and I'm falling, and the heat's getting more intense. The smell is worse. I don't know how in the world I'm surviving, but I'm thinking, what is going on? What's happening? I don't know where I'm at. There's no way I can stop my descent. And as I'm falling towards the bottom of this hole, the light is getting brighter. It's a brighter light. It's a flashing light. It's a deep red, orange, and glows. And next thing you know, I fell through this hole. Now, when I fell through this hole, the most unimaginable thing you could imagine I saw. I was in this humongous cavern that was never ending. I could not see the end of it. Everywhere I looked, it was just a humongous cavern. And right below me was the largest lake of burning fire and lava I had ever seen. A humongous lake of burning lava. Just everywhere I looked in, it wasn't just a lake of lava that was laying there calm, but it was a violent lake of calm of lava, because there was like miniature hurricanes or tornadoes whipping across the surface every which direction. I'm looking down. I must have been in the natural. It seemed like I was like 5,000 feet above this never-ending lake of lava, and I'm looking, and there's whirlwinds of tornadoes of intense heat and flames swirling across this lake, and there's explosions happening everywhere, just fountains of this lava exploding thousands of feet in the air, and they're exploding everywhere. And now I'm really losing it, because here I couldn't hardly breathe. The heat is even more intense than before, and I see this humongous, never ending, I cannot describe it to you, the horror that filled my heart, the fear that filled my heart, and I couldn't breathe. The heat was overwhelming beyond you can imagine, and I'm watching this explosions of lava shooting up into the air and coming back down, and the whole thing was like a violent ocean. All of the lava, liquefied lava, stones, and the lava burned different colors. It was bright orange, dark orange, some areas were dark, and this thing is just completely just violent. The whole thing is just erupting, and it's underneath me about 5,000 feet. Now, at the time, I didn't realize it was hell. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't imagine what happened to me, because, man, I'm in my barracks. Next thing, the floor rips open, and I fall through this hole, and I find myself in this cavern. Now, I did not have any fear of going to hell. I didn't have any fear of going to hell, because I knew my heart was right with God. See, I'll just stop here for a moment. You know, there's a lot of people out here that have experiences of going to hell, and all of their experiences of going to hell are demons and devils torturing and tormenting. And let me tell you right now, scripturally, biblically, I didn't even know this until I had this experience. There are no devils and there are no demons in hell tormenting people. The demons cried out, said, "Have you come to torture us or torment us before our time?" Well, Pastor Mike, then, how about all these people who said they went to hell and demons and devils were torturing them? They don't understand that was before you go into hell. If a person dies before they're born again, or if they're not loving God and serving God, the demonic powers will literally torture and torment them until they go through the gate of hell, where they'll never come out. Demons and devils are not in hell torturing people. They are being tortured. They will be tortured throughout eternity, the Bible says. And see why the devil tells people, see, they think it's God telling them you went to hell, but it isn't. It's demons telling them that. Now, the reason why, and I explain it in this book I wrote called The Horrors of Hell, The Splendors of Heaven, the reason why is because demons want to be glorified. They don't want you to fear God. They don't want you to fear the wrath of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God, the punishment of God. They want you to fear them. See, the devil's always wanted to be God, and so he wants you to glorify him. And so when people have these experiences where devils and demons and imps are torturing them and afflicting them, guess what? They're not exalting God. They're exalting demons. They're bragging about the devils, the demons, the imps in the way, how they torture, the exquisite ways, how they do this and that. And you know what? It's not God. It's a spirit of deception. It's a lying demon telling them that that was hell. It is not hell. If you want to know what hell is like, you don't even have to listen to my experience. All you got to do is read your Bible. It tells you exactly what hell is like. But at that time, I didn't know what hell was like. But I'm falling now towards this humongous lake of burning, churning, bubbling, boiling, raging lava. Now, as I'm falling, the heat gets so intense that all of a sudden, my clothes ignited in the fire. My shoes were burning on my feet. My hair explodes in the flames. Now, I don't know. How can I explain this to you? The pain, the agony, that was overwhelming. So my whole body is like a torch. I am literally, my skin ignites into flames. So my fingers are burning. My body's burning. I'm burning in fire. I'm just completely engulfed in flames as I'm falling towards this place called hell. I didn't realize it was hell yet. So I'm falling and I'm falling and I'm falling. And now as I'm falling, all of a sudden I heard this eerie sound, this weird sound. And it's highs and it's lows. And it's like somebody stabbing me in the chest with a knife because it's so intense and it's so painful. And this is, and I don't know what, and it's getting louder and louder and louder. And when all of a sudden, it had to be the Spirit of God that quickened my mind. It was the screams and the cries of humanity. It was men and women screaming and wailing and crying in the lava lake of hell. I mean, they're screaming. They're screaming highs and lows. And it began to rip my heart out. Now, how in the world could I perceive this while I'm burning, I'm aflame, I'm falling towards hell, and all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. You're falling into hell. God heard your prayers. So I'm falling closer and closer and closer. And as I'm getting closer to this burning, churning, bubbling lake of fire, I looked and I began to see something on the surface of this boiling, bubbling lava. And they're like real little objects. And it seemed like they had like four little limbs that were sticking out of these blackened objects. And it's way down there. God had to give me eyes and to see. And then he gave me a curiosity in the midst of all my pain and my sufferings. I've got this curiosity. What is that? What is it? What are those items floating on the surface? And they would go down and come back up and be tossed around. And their limbs were just frantically moving every which direction. And I'm looking and I'm looking as I'm getting closer and closer to hell. There is scattered millions of them across the surface, and they would come to the top and go and come to the top, and they're just everywhere. And all of a sudden it hit my heart, the reality. They were human beings. It was people. They were so burned and so charred, they didn't look like humans anymore. You could not tell what was a man and what was a woman. You could not tell what colors they had, whatever nation they were. They were charred like somebody who would put a chicken over on a roaster and would overcook it to where it's just nothing but charred and black. And as I'm looking, I'm seeing they're everywhere, and they're screaming, and they're human beings, and they're just being tossed to and fro. Well, as I'm looking at this and my mind is filled with horror, all of a sudden I plunged into this lake of lava. Now, the minute I plunged into this lake of lava, I was just swallowed up. I was swallowed up in this intense burning. And so now I'm swallowed up. Now, when I got swallowed up in this lava, this lake of lava, all of a sudden I'm under it and I can't breathe. No, I can't breathe. I'm trying to suck air in, but there is no air. And yet I'm not dying. I am burning with this intense heat, but I'm not dying. My eyes feel like they're being burned out of my socket, but I don't stop seeing. So here I am, I'm swallowed up in this absolute misery, complete misery. Just and I go down into the depths of this lava, and I can feel the currents pulling me and turning me and twisting me like these other people that were being tossed to and fro, millions and millions of people, billions of people. And the next thing, I would come to the surface, it would toss me up and then suck me back down. And so this pain seemed never to be never ending. And this experience was over 2 hours long. So I'm being tossed to and fro. And in the midst of all of this, all of this pain, all of this agony, there's this overwhelming desire for water. I'm so thirsty. It's a mind-boggling thirst. I'm so thirsty, I cannot explain it, but there's no water to be had. Forever. Now listen, I had not yet, I don't think I had read yet about the rich man being in hell and crying out to Abraham and saying, just give me a drop of water. In hell, there is no water. There is no water. And it's just, I think it's symbolic, like in this earth, there is so much water that it's incredible. But in hell, there is no water. I think it's like the mercy of God. In hell, there is no mercy. In hell, there is no forgiveness. And hell, you'll never get another chance to repent. And hell, you'll never get another opportunity to live for God. And so here I am, I'm being tossed to and fro in the blackness. And now I say a blackness because I believe God allowed me to see what was going on. But actually, there is no light in hell. There is no light in hell. It's completely black, completely dark. You're completely swallowed up into this lake of lava where there's never-ending pain, never-ending sorrow, never have another drink of water. And as I'm in the midst of this, all of a sudden, I realized there was another thing that was completely absent, totally absent. It was the greatest horror you could ever experience. And it's this: there is no love in hell. No love. None of the goodness of God. Nothing. Just absolutely void of love. See, people don't realize when you live in this world, you see the love of God everywhere, whether you don't appreciate it or not. You see it in the flowers. You see it in the birds. You see it in the blue skies above. You see it in the snow-capped mountains. You see it in the crashing waves upon the shore of the ocean. You experience the love of God. You smell the love of God. You're walking in the love of God without even knowing it. You're walking in the reality of God without even knowing it. Sinners living in this world, and everywhere they look, they have no excuse because the reality of Christ is everywhere. But in hell, there is no love. You'll never have another drink of water. There's nothing but never-ending pain and never-ending sorrow. Another thing that hit me at that time is what the Bible calls that in hell there is what we call the worm that never dies. And the worm that never dies is the reality that you will be remembering, I could have been saved. I could have loved God. I could have obeyed the Lord. I could have walked with Jesus, but I turned it down. I'll never have another chance to get saved. I'll never have another chance to get right. I'll never have another chance to do God's will. So I'm in this, and I'm making it very quick here because the thoughts that came into my head, the pain, the sorrow, the loneliness. And that's another thing in hell. You're all alone. You say, well, no, you're not alone, because they say, well, I'll party with my friends. Well, first of all, there is no communication between the damned and hell because they're so full of pain. They're so full of agony. They're so full of sorrow. The worm that never dies is eating at their conscience. They're crying. They're screaming. They're wailing. They're wanting help, but they can't get help. And it's so dark that you're bumping into other people. You're smashing into other human beings, but there is no communication. There is no helping each other. You are completely doomed and damned and lost forever. So I'm in this lake of fire. I'm in this place called hell for hours. I'm tortured. I'm tormented. I can't get a drink. I sense none of the love of God. I'm completely lonely. I'm cut off from everybody. I'm bumping into other human beings, but there's no communication. You know, people say, this is hell on earth. They have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, just, I don't do it, but just if you take a a torch, a propane torch, and stick your index finger underneath that that torch for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Of course, your finger would be gone, but in hell, your finger would never be gone. Just unending pain. But now, another thing I discovered when I was in hell, because I could hear the people screaming, and it was the most terrible thing when I would come to the surface. I would hear the people screaming, and this is what they would be screaming. They would be crying out for mercy. And they would cry out to God, and then they would turn around, and they would curse God. And they would cry out to God, and they would curse God. And they would cry out to God, and they would curse God. And this went on for hours. Now, I discovered as they were cursing God and crying out to God and begging as they, and you understand, if you can imagine, if just in the regular ocean of water, screaming, and that's what I heard when I was falling like a skydiver towards the lake of fire. That's what I heard. People screaming with highs and lows and beggings and pleadings and cursings and damnings against God. But I discovered something was different about me. I was not cursing God. Because see, my heart was right with God. In the midst of hell, I was praising Him. Every time I'd come to the surface, I'd scream, "You're worthy, God. I love you, Jesus. Father, you're wonderful." I'm in the pit of hell, and I am worshiping God in hell. I am praising God in hell. I am magnifying God in hell. None of these other souls were praising God. None of these other souls were worshiping God. None of these other souls were exalting Christ. But I'm exalting Christ in hell, being tossed to and fro by the flames and by the waves of the liquefied lava. I am worshiping and I am praising and I am exalting God. And I'm crying out, "Oh God, deliver me from this place. Oh God, rescue me from this place." Now, in one moment, I'm being tossed to the surface of this waves of this liquefied lava, when all of a sudden, I heard this most magnificent voice that you could ever imagine. It was so strong. It was so real. It was so amazing. And I heard and I knew it was the voice of God. And I heard him say this, and all of hell shook. He said, "Let my servant go." Now, the minute I knew it was the Father speaking, he said, "Let my servant go." The minute the voice of God came booming and thundering into the caverns of hell, it's like hell itself vomited me right out of it. I mean, it just like it was like a volcano going up. It just like exploded, and the lava got underneath me and picked me up and threw me out of the chambers of hell. Well, there's more to the story than that, but to make a long story short, I found myself back in my barracks, and I was on my knees, and I was weeping, I was crying, I was wailing. When I came out of this experience, I looked over, and Willie was there on his face. Finally, when I was able to talk, as I'm communicating with Willie, he said, "Mike, what happened? What happened?" I said, "Willie, I went to hell." And Willie said to me, he's all shook up, you know, and he said, "Mike, what happened?" He said, "For over 2 hours, you were screaming and yelling and crying like a madman." He said, "I didn't know what to do. All I could do was pray." He said, you were screaming and yelling and crying for all that time, Mike. What happened?" And I said, Willie, I said, "I went to hell." He said, "You what?" I said, "Willie, I went to hell." After that happened, I'd be preaching anywhere I went. I was telling people, tears rolling down my face, "You got to get saved. You got to get right. You got to repent. You got to know Jesus. You don't want to go to hell." And so that was over 30 years ago. And what I've shared with you, the story I'm telling you, is true.
Global Air Force.